Okay, welcome back, everyone, to the final hour here of the show on Shake and Wake Radio. I've been reading for 2 hours, so I'm going to give my voice a rest. And Jed Witham has come back on, and he's gonna take over the show, right, Jed?
I think Robert Kennedy Jr. and Tulsi Gabbard are going to take over the show.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Well, you know, we got to do something as a country here. And Biden and Trump, you know, there's a word or a term. There's a term in the dictionary called loony bin.
Uh-huh.
And there's two pictures right after that of Donald Trump and Joe Biden.
Joe Biden, yeah.
oh, buddy. Don't get me started on Joe. But as we spoke last time, I've been convincing as many people as possible to take some time out of their dwindling lives and focus on the future of our nation. Because if this country goes down, the world is going to be a big mess.
Right. Now that's, well, that's been the plan that's been the plan for 250 years, though.
Well, you know, I cruised through some old friends from back in high school this afternoon, just to kind of see what the status of the affairs are. And I assure you, a lot of the people I went to high school with are not happy one bit with what's happened to this country. I think it all went in the toilet when they took Ozzie and Harriet off the TV with my two sons.
Yes, and Leave It to Beaver. Yeah.
Flipper. I mean, if we just had Flipper back, everything might be a little better. And then, you know, I'm giving away how old I am. Huh?
Right.
But as we spoke last time, the nation's government was patterned after the five nations of the Iroquois Confederacy. Thomas Jefferson, Alexander Hamilton, I believe it's Thomas Paine, right?
Yeah.
These learned men were on the frontier wrapping up a very brutal war with the British Empire to break away from the crown. At least arguably. I know there's a lot of people that say we're still a British colony, and I have to agree on many levels. But the new nation had to have some sort of government in order to, you know, be a sustainable interest in the world. And they patterned our national government greatly after the five nations of the Iroquois Confederacy, which just by pure luck, I grew up in the heartland of where that Confederacy existed for centuries. One story that I think everybody in America should read is about the peacemaker. He paddled his white stone canoe along the rivers and the streams, the lakes of Indian country, and he convinced all the tribes to make peace and to protect each other and to feed each other and to respect each other's family structures and marriages. And, you know, there was quite a lot more to that Iroquois Confederacy than you might believe. But they were successful with it. Now, annually, the Five Nations of the Confederacy, they had fire council. Many times, actually, in the Adirondacks, not exclusively, but many times in the Adirondacks, the leaders of these nations would come together and make decisions that were mutually beneficial to the peoples of essentially what are recognized as the Eastern Woodland tribes of ancient American Indian culture. Not Western culture so much, that didn't have anything to do, at least originally, with the Iroquois Confederacy. But the leaders understood that if they didn't have a mutual interest in the prosperity of their progeny, their children and descendants, that they'd die out, that there would be no cohesiveness amongst the people, and the elements and the politics and certainly the European whites would decimate them. So they were observed intently by the founding fathers of what we call the United States and our constitutional form of government in great ways was patterned after this Confederacy of the Iroquois. Now, everybody that can hear my voice understands that our nation is in a lot of trouble. Not just financially, but militarily and societally. Am I saying that right? I think I'm saying that right.
Yeah.
The threats that we face are great from without the nation, but there's enormous threats from within. I don't want to beat up any LGBTQRXTWXYZs or anything, but we've got a severe lack of morality in the country that's traceable to Penthouse and Playboy and Hustler and all the porno and lots of drug use and alcohol abuse. And can you say, yeah. Pussycat grabbing. I hate to say what Trump used. I really do. I hate to say it.
I know it.
But this degeneracy that's come out of the Trump administration, the degeneracy that came out of the Clinton administration, the degeneracy of the Obama administration, the Bushes and their warmongering, and Biden and his criminality, and his multi-million-dollar deals with the Burisma company and the Ukraine and some of the other antics of taking money from China simply is not in the best interests of the nation. I believe Joe Biden's mental capacity is that of a senior citizen that should be in a arrest home, because he's not only senile, but I believe he's suffering from dementia.
Oh, he should have been in there 10 years ago. You know what? You know what? The
thing that we spoke about last time was how the Five Nation tribes of the Iroquois Confederacy recognized what were known as SACMs, their leaders. And it's spelled S-A-C-H-E-M-S, SACMs, the leaders of the Iroquois Confederacy, and in most cases, the matriarchs of these tribes, the women, were their leaders. They had a great reverence for mothers. I don't know if you've ever tried to harm a child when a mother's present, but you've got a bear that will rip your head off. Most mothers are extremely protective of their children.
Called mama bears.
Not all, but, I know. Not all, but most.
Yeah.
So I've been communicating with people all over the country. I've spoken with a very, I believe she's brilliant in many ways. Her name's Diane Sayre. She's out of New York. She is running for the U.S. Senate against Christian Gillibrand and Chuck Schumer because she sees how out of control the socialism, communism of the empire state has become. It's destroying New York.
Uh-huh.
Oh, the exodus of taxpayers out of New York is staggering. The declining quality of life in the empire state is very seriously in the toilet in a lot of places.
Well, they're leaving California, Detroit, too.
Well, it's like Detroit. It's like Indianapolis. It's like Toronto is not faring well at all. There's huge sections of what's known as the Rust Belt that are collapsing societally. Homelessness is horrible. Drug abuse is horrible. Child abuse, divorce, the destruction of the family. It's just staggering, the numbers, when you look at it.
That's what the Communist Manifesto does.
Well, yes, exactly. And I believe historically it's been observed by some of the best minds in the world that communism eventually implodes. And if you look at the deficit numbers of our national and state and local governments, if you look at the fact that the redeemable and lawful money, the lawful money disappeared when they murdered John Kennedy in 1963. I had a pretty good argument with some serious redneck Trump bots, and I told them, you know, when you are considering going to purely digital keystroked money, you have to ask yourself, well, how do you redeem that for lawful money? And they get all bent out of shape because when you show them the money that was in circulation during the 40s and 50s and 60s, the face of those Federal Reserve notes was printed in the upper left-hand corner on every single bill, every single note. It was printed, this note is legal tender. For payments of debt, public and private, and is redeemable at the Federal Reserve or a national bank for lawful money. And there's only one way to discuss that fact. Why was it redeemable, and what exactly was the lawful money? What did it consist of? And why was it printed on all the bills? What were these people thinking? Was it just to make the money look groovy or make the money look cool? Or was there a legal standard that was being met? As in Article 1, Section 10, Part 5 of the United States Constitution requirements that lawful money is gold, silver, or copper. Coinage. Now, the answer lays in Lyndon Johnson's signing statement of the Coinage Act of 1965. Anybody who reads LBJ's signing statement realizes that they canceled 173 years of money law and took away all the silver.
Yeah.
Lyndon Johnson took the silver. And then just a few short years later, Nixon took us off the gold,
uh-huh.
took the gold.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, at one point in American history, you couldn't even privately own gold.
Yeah.
And that was basically during the Depression era.
Yeah, Roosevelt did that.
So, you know, these fire councils that the sachems of the five nations would hold annually, they would address their most serious concerns. And why I bring this subject up is I know that the Cabal is well connected to Shake and Wake Radio and a number of other broadcasting interests around the world. I know that I have a lot of contacts in this broadcasting world as well, and a lot of my contacts have a lot of contacts in the broadcasting world. Now, I'm not trying to be an alarmist, but by God, if there was ever a time in world history to sound the alarm, it's right now. We're in trouble here, folks. We're in deep trouble. When Janet Yellen and Jerome Powell cry and carry on and whine about hitting the debt ceiling, and the very first thing that they tell the American people is the Social Security checks are not going out to grandma and grandpa. I guess they're going to starve grandma and grandpa first. They're not getting their Social Security checks. And I have to say that there's a lot of other social programs and infrastructure that have been robbed beyond belief by the corporate rats, the rat poops. I won't say turds on the radio.
Dookie.
Rat poop.
You can say turds.
Can I say rat turds? Okay.
Rat crap.
Rat turd. The rat turds that have robbed this nation blind.
But, you know, there's...
Just recently, the increase of the debt ceiling, I guess they claim they're going to raise the debt $4 trillion over the next 2 years.
Uh-huh.
I absolutely guarantee you one thing. When the 2 years is elapsed, it'll be a lot more than $4 trillion. And by that time, if they haven't completely rammed the Great Reset down this nation's throat, it will be well underway. And the digital currency of central bank digital currencies will be keystroking their ways into every aspect of your personal lives. You won't be able to buy a used bicycle from a garage sale or a flea market. You won't be able to go down and buy a couple of dozen eggs from somebody who produces eggs at their little farm. You won't be able to go out and buy vegetables at a corner produce stand. There'll be so many transactions that you won't be able to perform because all you'll have is the Fed coin card. Everything will be tracked. Everything will be monitored. And every last nickel and dime that you think you have, you will no longer have. It's going to vanish just like the silver did when Lyndon Johnson signed the Coinage Act of 1965.
And you will eat the bugs and enjoy it.
Well, there's some science that I support in that regard. They freeze dry a lot of different bugs, and they freeze dry a lot of fish that aren't, you know, the best fish in the world. And they freeze dry all kinds of plants and things that aren't necessarily the most edible. And then, of course, you've got some synthesized foods that are also involved in that loaf of bread you bought last night at the supermarket. There is legitimate applications for what people are referring to as bugs. You're not going to get a plate full of dead bugs with a spoon and some French dressing at your Italian restaurant. that's not what they're necessarily referring to, but they will be adding these bug proteins after they're freeze dried and ground into a meal like a flour and added to your food. It's already happening. I mean, when you stop and think about it, there's an awful lot of people that eat pigs, and there's awful lot of people that eat cows and turkeys and chickens, and everybody pretty much likes a tuna fish sandwich. So there's a lot of people that eat fish. So the idea of adding bugs to the smorgasbord of what humans consume isn't necessarily all that alarming. But I'll tell you something that is very alarming. This absolute boob, Donald Trump, and this absolute boob, Joe Biden, have whipped up a war with Russia. We're at war with Russia. I mean, if we had Canada lobbing artillery shells across the Canadian border and Mexico lobbing artillery shells across the Mexican border, and all those munitions were being supplied by China and Russia, trust me, we'd be at war with China and Russia, right?
Uh-huh.
So we're already in war with Russia, with the Russian people. Now, the other day, our ambassador was sent to Beijing to beg, I guess. It's embarrassing. But in the major lamestream media here the last couple of days, apparently part of the message that this ambassador brought to Beijing was that we don't really care about Taiwan. You know, and we recognize that Taiwan is part of China.
Well, that's what the Chinese have wanted.
Well, I have a kind of a simple question for the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the Department of Defense and the CIA and this absolute demented old boob, Joe Biden. What in the flying hell are we doing risking our Navy personnel and our ships by cruising up and down the Taiwanese Strait? What are we doing?
Distracting.
I mean, same thing in the Persian Gulf with escorting tankers so that Iran doesn't attack, right?
Uh-huh.
I can understand our Navy escorting ships through the Persian Gulf, because I don't particularly care much for the totalitarian state known as Iran. Very belligerent, very violent, and in my personal opinion, extremely criminal. Same with the Chinese. I've got no use whatsoever for communists. None. I subscribe to that old adage, the only good communist is a dead one. That might be a little harsh, but, well, that's the way I roll. But back to the point of calling in, Steve. The cabal is really situated in the honey spot of broadcasting. You are the standard, as far as I'm concerned, in grassroots broadcasting. And the grassroots are the people. We the people are the grassroots. We must have, across this nation, weekly, right up until this next election, right up to this next primary where they anoint who the candidates are going to be, the people of this country need to address the emergency conditions that we are in. Because if we don't, well, you're going to get a substitute by the Democratic Party for Joe Biden. Somebody like, you know, I don't know, Michelle Obama.
Michael?
Which, I don't know, what qualities does Michelle Obama have to be president beyond the fact that she's black?
She has a penis. Oh, I'm sorry. Never mind.
Well, my point is, intellectually, what does the woman possess? What does the she-male, the man? I don't know what's in Michael, Michelle, whatever. I don't know that. But by God, this nation should. I mean, what exactly is being hidden here, folks? Why is this stuff all being hushed? Why was Barry Satoru? Am I saying that right?
Yes, Barry Satoru.
Yeah. He wasn't Hawaiian born. Uh-uh. He was born in Indonesia. The birth certificate they faked is so obvious, it's not even funny. And yes, I was involved in that litigation when it was filed. I forget the name of the man who filed the original case in Pennsylvania, but I filed intervention in it, and I said, you know, the American people have a right to know. But the masters of the cartel that controls American politics out of the Federal Reserve, they told the American people that they didn't have standing in court to question anything. And you got Barack Obama shoved down your throat. It's the same thing with January 6th in Washington, D.C., when Donald Trump summoned to the Capitol a mob. And Donald Trump summoned a mob to the Capitol. That's a fact. That's not subject to interpretation. He said, come to D.C., it's going to be wild. And then you saw what happened? And a lot of people don't like me for saying this, but I'm going to say it again. I believe that Elizabeth Cheney did a damn good job. And I think some of these sentences for these violent punks that smashed out windows and broke in doors and knocked down barricades and trespassed where they told they couldn't come that day. They had a security protocol on the Capitol that day, and Donald Trump's mob threw it in the trash can, and, well, you saw the riot, and it was violent. Whether it doesn't make any difference how you try to interpret it. There was a great, big, huge riot caused by the mob that Donald Trump summoned to Washington. And he's not fit mentally. He is not fit mentally to be president of the United States. He doesn't need to be anywhere near the Oval Office. Did we get disconnected?
Nope, I'm still here.
Oh, we're still there. Okay, well, I get some weird feedback here. Can you hear me okay?
Uh-huh.
All right. The idea of fire council is regional, statewide. It doesn't have to be a formal anything. But I'm doing my best to get Bobby Kennedy Jr. and Tulsi Gabbard and Diane Sayre to participate, because I have to admit, out of everything I'm seeing so far, Bobby Kennedy, I believe, would do a really good job in bringing to an end the insanity that we face in this country. I believe the people around Tulsi Gabbard would do a superb job with reining in the out-of-control mafias that control the Democrat and Republican parties. That's not to say that...
No,
Ron DeSantis. Ron DeSantis served in the Navy, and he was a Navy officer. And there's some things, not everything, but there are some things that Ron DeSantis stands for that I can't support more. Service to country sometimes, it's a sacrifice. And all this enormous debt, which I'm going to refer to as odious debt. You know what odious debt is,
yes.
Stephen?
Yes.
Unlawfully created odious debt. It's been created by the biggest pack of rotten freaking thieves I've ever seen in my life. There's a fellow that I'm not particularly fond of, and I've gone after him pretty harshly. I really have to admit it. But he's up in Park City, Utah, and he's a producer of a series called The Con, The New Untouchables. His name's Patrick Lovell. And as much as I tear into him, I still see the value of a lot of the work he did that he based on my work. You're familiar with me, Steve. You know what my work consisted of.
Yes.
I went to guns on the bankers, didn't I?
Uh-huh.
Oh, boy. And if people knew how the FHA and Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and the United States Department of Agriculture and the Federal Home Loan Bank and the Bank of International Settlements and the World Bank and the Treasury and the Postal Service banks have been massively robbed. If people really understood how much money's been stolen from the Social Security lockbox, it's staggering. In
yeah.
fact, when Jerome Powell and Janet Yellen said, oh, we're out of money and the Social Security checks are not going out, that's the first thing they threatened, that the Social Security checks wouldn't go out.
Yeah, I know.
I went nuclear on them. You saw me go nuclear on them. We got all this law enforcement, all these investigators, and all these intelligence agencies, and we got sheriff's departments and local PDs. We got FBI. I mean, the list of investigators and law enforcement in this country is massive. We got NSA. We got CIA. And I went right after them. I mean, where the hell's the lockbox? What'd you do with all the money that's supposed to be in the lockbox? Where is that money? Joe Biden?
It's probably in a helicopter.
Kamala Harris?
It's probably in a helicopter.
Well, of course it's helicopter money. I mean, everybody in this country that, has heard about a stimulus check or quantitative easing or SCRIP, and that's SCRIP. And yes, Judson Witham is a historian, and Judson Witham is also an attorney. And I understand what fiat SCRIP is. Just like the director of the Office of Management and Budget, David Stockman. He worked for two U.S. presidents. He referred to the helicopter money. And can you quote him, Steve?
No.
He referred to it as phony baloney money.
Yeah.
And then my old buddy from up at,
Well, you know, Ben Bernanke is on record and in front of Congress saying that gold is not money.
Well, I wanted to say something about Lake Placid resident, Lake Placid, Dylan Radigan. Dylan Radigan ran for president this last time, I believe, or it may have been the 2016 election. But Radigan on MSNBC, he went nuclear. I mean, he started yelling and screaming about how we print up the money, just like Jon Stewart on Comedy Central, how we print, the last thing we were good at. And the money's all It's fake.
Uh-huh.
It's helicopter money, ladies and gentlemen. And the problem with it all boils down to this. The children in this country and their children after them. And then, of course, their children after that. What are they going to inherit again? What are we giving them? A nation that's been sucked dry? And then a whole bunch further?
They'll be given diversity, Judd. That's what they'll be given.
All this, and I don't go out and around and mock and beat up, and you know, I don't kill, I don't do all that kind of stuff to the LGBXTRYZ. What are they up to? About 63, 64.
You know what that stands for, don't you? LGBTQ. Let's get Biden to quit.
Thank you very much. Just send me that in an email, will you, please? I'm going to quote that in the future. But, I mean, folks, in your communities, at the supermarket, down the post office, at the gas station, in the cafe, down at the local saloon, you know, the local bar. I mean, there are huge numbers of people that have come to the conclusion that, man, we better do something, and we better do something quick here. So I'm suggesting that all the broadcasters, the grassroots of America, and across the world for that matter, this is going on all over the world because of the World Economic Forum, and they're carrying on about a great reset. And I can't say this strongly enough. The Sachems of the Five Nations of the Iroquois Confederacy knew what they were doing. Peacemaker knew what he was doing. And if we don't get with the program, folks, when this out-of-control, supercharged mess hits the wall, it's going to be an unbelievable catastrophe. There's going to be a lot of people in the streets that die under the most gruesome circumstances you can think of. And here's a wake-up for y'all. It's already happening. It's already happening. I'm not going to throw out any names, but I'm going to tell you about a woman that I met a few weeks ago in a supermarket checkout line, living in her car, dying of cancers, liver, pancreatic, and kidney cancers. And today the woman's very sick and in a lot of pain. And last night, early this morning, was telling me about the excruciating pain and how she felt she was in the final stages of kidney failure. Going septic, and dying. And there's literally millions of people, not just in the United States, but around the world that are experiencing the same homelessness and the same hopelessness and the same poverty and the same conditions.
Yep.
There's children, there's senior citizens, there's mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters. This is inexcusable. You see the way Michael Bloomberg flies around in his corporate jets? You see the way Barack Obama lives off the high cotton like a sultan?
Uh-huh.
You see the way King Charlie and the princes of the royal family, the House of Windsor. You see the way those people live?
Oh, yeah.
Look at that opulent, gaudy. God, that place is gaudy. Mar-a-Lago and all the fancy golf courses and garbage that Trump has amassed, making his dirty deals. Sorry, Donnie, but you're not fooling me for a second, Trump. You're nothing but mafia garbage. Mafia garbage Donald Trump. I hope you get the message. And I hope they lock you up for a very long time, because that's what you deserve. We need new leadership. We need a new direction. And it's up to the American people to pull it off. Because it ain't coming from the top. Oh, hell no. This House Speaker McCarthy, James Jordan, Elise Stefanik, Dan Bishop, Chip Roy. I can name a bunch of them on this House Oversight, House Weaponization Committee. What a farce. What a joke. All it is, remember the old Mad Magazine, Steve?
Uh-huh.
Spy versus spy.
Yeah.
It's the Republicans versus the Democrats, and that's exactly why we're at where we are.
I've always said
this rot has been going on since they assassinated John Kennedy.
Well, it was going on long before that, but still.
Well, it culminated in Dealey Plaza, and I'm going to tell you something. If you look at the debt figures, if you look at the debt of the United States government, that's where it starts going right into the freaking abyss. When they splattered that man's brains all over Dealey Plaza.
Hey, did you hear what happened? There's a
did I hear what?
There's an alleged rumor that there's a second film of that day. A lot better. A lot better film. I've always thought that there would be a second film or even a third film. You know, because...
Well, it's obvious there's one that went through his back, you know, came out in the front of his neck.
No, a second camera. A second...
I'm aware.
Movie camera.
I'm sure there were many more cameras.
Yes.
I'm sure the Magruder film is not the only one.
No, no. I've always been positive that it hasn't either. And now there's a rumor that it's out.
Well, all I can say is that all the broadcasters... everybody that's blogging, everybody that cares, everybody that knows that if we don't do something, we're going to be in a great big mess. And we're already in it, to be honest about it. We have to figure out how to nonstop focus on and feature the best minds we have in this country to dig us out of this mess. I mean, this wide open border in Mexico, along the southwestern border of the United States, all they're doing is bringing in replacement labor. And if anybody has any questions about my observation there, you need to remember that I've spent 40 plus years exposing what's known as colonias. Liberty County, Texas. I called Wayne Dolfacino, and trust me and Wayne Dolfacino, we don't get along too well, but his team did a really good job on a big colonias called Colony Ridge in Liberty County, Texas, just a couple of years ago. And I had seen the work on Colony Ridge, and I saw it here about 2 weeks ago, and I got a hold of my old buddy, Wayne Dolfacino, and trust me, I mean, we don't like each other. But I gave him kudos and patted him on the back and told him, excellent work. Excellent work. Because it is excellent work. And I had to set my personal differences aside with Wayne Dolfacino. And trust me, he's a big dog around Houston, Texas. An investigative reporter that'll kick you right in the you-know-what. He's like my old pal is no longer around now. He was part of that. Remember the old film, Best Little Whorehouse in Texas?
Yeah. Who's not around?
Well, that would be the old man that was constantly going out to the senior citizens' homes and raising hell about the rotten conditions in a lot of the senior citizens' homes. And then, of course, he did the slime in the ice machine report, where he'd go around all the different restaurants in the Harris and Montgomery County areas. And that would be, Marvin Zindler. Eyewitness News. He was a champion of the rights of the little people.
Okay.
And he was eccentric. He was weird. He had white hair, and he wore these ox, I think they're called oxbow glasses. You know, those big plastic rim glasses. And he always said they were either lavender rose lenses, or sometimes he'd have blue lenses and with the white hair, and his eccentric behavior on the ABC News Channel 13. He was quite a character, and he carried on for many, many years. And Marvin Zindler did a lot of really good things for people that really deserved it. And he did a lot of kind of bad things to a lot of really bad people that had it coming. And if you look at that old film, that old movie, The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, you'll see what I'm talking about. Zindler was quite a character.
I don't remember much about the movie. I only seen it once, I think.
You'd have to have lived in Texas. It's pretty famous how he went nuclear on the bad guys.
Oh, okay.
And that's what grassroots broadcasting in America needs to do right now.
Well,
if we don't stop the implosion, and that's what they're doing it on purpose, folks.
Yeah.
They are intentionally destroying the Republic of the United States so they can impose their world government masters from the United Nations and the World Economic Forums and jam it right down your throats.
You know who else comes to mind? Sheriff what? Buford Pusser, walking tall.
Correct. And in fact, I have a lady friend. I haven't spoken to her in a couple of years, but she's very close friends with a buddy of mine, David Harbin, out of Mobile, Alabama. He's got a commercial building about a half a block up from the federal courthouse and the FBI there in Mobile. And he's done enormous amounts of good work going after the local mobsters and, you know, the narcotics traffickers and the pimps pushing all the prostitution and the child smuggling. And Harbin's done some pretty tough work, and he's taken some really hard hits for doing it. He sacrificed many years of his life to fight local corruption. And I don't agree with everything Dave Harbin does. There's some things Dave Harbin does that I don't like at all. But he does some pretty damn good work when he goes after the bad guys.
Yeah.
Sort of like Annie, sort of like you. Did I ever tell you I don't like you completely? There's some things you do, Steve, that aggravate the living hell out of me, but that's not the point.
Yeah.
This is the point. We have no option here. Because if this country goes down, which that's exactly what they're trying to make it do, they're intentionally trying to destroy this country. And it's unacceptable. Now, how much time we got left on this program?
About 6 minutes.
My father and my mother are a couple of the best people I've ever known in my life. They weren't perfect. There were things both of them did that aggravated me beyond aggravation. But my dad was a naval officer, and he flew combat missions for the Pacific Fleet. He was a carrier pilot. He was 24 years old, 24. And every single time he climbed up into the cockpit of his aircraft, he was terrified. That's how he described it. He was scared witless. But he had a job to do. And he'd launch from the carrier deck out there in the wide open Pacific, sometimes at night. They'd have to begin their search and assault missions on Japanese aircraft and Japanese ships before the sun came up. My father did his job. He had no choice but to do his job. And it cost him. I mean, he came home with PTSD on nuclear steroids, but yeah. He did his job.
Yep.
And my mother, God bless my mother, she was a physician's assistant, and she was a nurse practitioner, and she was medical corps. And she never one single time discussed her service, not once. I don't believe she could. I think she'd have completely broken down. The things that my mother used to have to deal with when she was a young woman, America, it's beyond comprehension what the greatest generation did. And we're going to let it all go down the drain because of Hunter Biden's appetite for cocaine and little girls.
Yeah.
And his daddy's hunger for millions from foreign influences.
And cocaine and little girls.
Thank you for telling it like it is. Remember Howard Coselli told it like it was?
Yep, I do.
Well, I'm trying to tell it like it is. Folks, every single one of us need to figure out how to get the grassroots broadcasters and politicians, men and women that are worthy of leading this country, and we need to pull together fire councils with the best SACMs we can find. And trust me, I believe Tulsi Gabbard is probably one of the finest examples of an American woman that has ever walked the earth. And I'm not talking about her buxom body, which, well, I guess I did. And Liz Cheney. There's a lot of people, oh, God, that Trump supporters get mad at me over. I called Liz Cheney up, you know, and I told her, lady, if you ever think about running for president, you let me know because I will campaign for you. That was a tough job. And this absolute rotten boob, Donald Trump, I hope they bury you under the prison. Because you're worthless. What you've done to this country is beyond belief. And that goes for Joe Biden, too. I'm not letting Biden off the hook either, or Barack Obama, or the Clintons. Did you see the luncheon, the inaugural luncheon when Trump got elected? Hello?
Sorry, I was muted. No, I didn't see it.
That's okay. Well, the inaugural luncheon, a day or two after he won the election, he got the entire attending audience to give Hillary and Bill Clinton a standing ovation.
Yeah.
And Donald Trump told the whole world that he had this great admiration and great respect for the Clintons.
Yeah.
This is after he promised the people that were going to vote for him that he was going to appoint a special prosecutor to look into all the crimes the Clintons had.
He was going to lock her up. He was going to lock her up.
Well,
that's what it was.
You know, if you look at the Clinton crime record, you go, oh, my God, these people are nothing more than syndicate trash and very dangerous and have killed and robbed and all kinds of nasty stuff. It's off the charts what Bill and Hillary have been involved in.
Mm-hmm.
And he told the world that he had great respect and admiration for the Clintons at his inaugural luncheon.
I know.
Got all the videos of it.
I know it.
So Donald Trump, you lying two-faced snake, I hope they bury you under the damn jailhouse. Because you're as fake as fake comes, Donnie boy.
Yep. Well,
sure that Annie's got a lot of connections, and I hope the woman will call me because we need to pull together all these broadcasters, and we need to recruit, and we need to organize broadcasters all over this country. If we don't fix this mess, Steve, we're not going to have a country left.
I know it. And we're all done here,
God bless.
Yeah, what'd you say there, Judd?
I said, God bless you, Steve.
Yeah. We're all done here for the day.
We'll talk to you next time. Bye.
All right. Okay, folks. It's been a long day. It's been a fun day, though. So, hope to see everyone tomorrow. I guess we will have a live show tomorrow, me and Roger. So hope to see everyone there. Until next time.